has been fun getting to know them. I wish I knew them better. I see them once a month, and we meet for, you know, about 2 hours, and, you know, in the group of pastors, and talk. And it's just wonderful to get to see your church. You have a wonderful, beautiful place here. This is really, really cool. This is so much cooler than my church. We are trying to make it cool, and we are getting there slowly but surely. But thank you so much for having me here. Today I want to talk about your purpose as a son and daughter of the Most High God. And you know, many people say, why am I here? What's my purpose? And so, as we get started, let's just agree in the name of Jesus this morning on three things. That God would give us the spirit of wisdom. Like Paul said in Ephesians, he would give us the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge effectively. God can give us knowledge, but if we don't have the wisdom to apply that knowledge, then the knowledge just kind of goes down the drain. Amen? Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom. Second, that he would give us, along with wisdom, the spirit of revelation. Revelation knowledge. Hallelujah. Lord, that you would open our eyes. See, revelation is never new. Nothing in this world is new. God just reveals it to us. All of a sudden we go, whoa. That God would open our eyes. Revelation means to unveil something. And so all of a sudden God opens our eyes and we see it, and it's like, wow. That God would give us the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. Third, that God would destroy our ignorance. That God would destroy our ignorance. You know, the evil in this world doesn't exist because of the devil or demons or sin. Many Christians think it does. The evil in this world exists because of a lack of knowledge or ignorance. Jesus was dying on the cross, and he didn't say, Father, forgive them, because of their sin. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Hosea 4:6, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, sin is a result of a lack of knowledge. When your eyes are opened, all of a sudden you see the Lord and you go, wow, there was light that was shone on him, and all of a sudden he fell off his donkey, looked up, he was blinded by the light. Anyway, and then all of a sudden he was a changed man. And so the devil is the prince of darkness. The word darkness and ignorance or deception has the same root word. If you look in the Hebrew, if you go back to the same root word, they're the same. And sin is a result of ignorance. So the devil is the prince of ignorance, or the prince of darkness. He's the deceiver. He wants to keep us ignorant, and he can only rule by illusion. So Lord, I pray this morning you'd give us the spirit of wisdom. You'd give us the spirit of revelation. And Lord, that you would destroy our ignorance. And Lord, you would shine your light. Let there be light in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the unrenewed mind is always at war with God. It's always at war with God. But the renewed mind is always in full cooperation with the kingdom of God. There's always areas in our mind and always areas in our heart where we constantly are looking and we say, I want this, I want that, I want... So we're thinking about this, and those areas are areas where God's saying, no, I want you to think of my kingdom. I want you to think of my kingdom. And so it's always a push and pull with what God wants. And God says, no, 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 no. To be carnally minded is to be at enmity with God. So Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you will know what is the good and perfect will of God. Because when you start thinking on the things of the world, you don't know what God's will is in that regard. And when you're talking about purpose, you lose your purpose for your life in those in those areas where you don't know where those areas of your mind are not renewed. And so we constantly have to go back. So say, Lord, shine your light on these areas in my mind. And so the key to doing anything is knowing why you should do it. If you don't know why you worship, when it starts getting hard, when you're showing up every day 2 hours, or every Sunday 2 hours early, you're showing up midweek to practice, all of a sudden it starts getting hard. You're on the worship team. Creative musicians are always passionate people. It's what makes them good at what they do. That's why they can close their eyes and sing and lift their hands, and the guitar players can make those weird faces, and it's what makes them really good at what they do. But musicians, I know because I am one. I was a worship leader for 25 years. And musicians, if it's also when they start getting together, musicians can be really sensitive if you tell them, oh, that didn't sound really good. You were flat on that. I'm leaving. Because they are very passionate people. And so if you don't understand the purpose of why you're there, to move the Father's heart, to usher in the presence of God, because Psalms 22:3 says, Lord, you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. So when you lead the people, this is just an example, when you lead the people into the presence of God, God becomes enthroned in the praises. And when a king comes and sits on the throne, the King of Kings, the King of all kings, he comes and sits on the throne of your praise. Anything that opposes that authority has to flee in Jesus' name. And that's the purpose of praise. You understand? But if you don't understand your purpose, when there's some adversity, all of a sudden you say, I'm done. See, purpose, your purpose keeps you going for the long haul. And your purpose as a Christian, it keeps you going for life. And when the going gets tough, you stay your ground. And having done all to stand, as Paul writes, you stand because you say, no, 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 I'm in Christ and I understand my purpose. I understand why I'm here. And so when dealing with the issue of purpose, you have to ask yourself five questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I from? What can I do? And where am I going? And until you can answer these questions, life is just an experiment. The Bible puts it this way. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. Because vision and purpose go hand in hand. And many of God's children don't understand the heart of the Father for their life. And so they get very, very frustrated. And so I want to help convey purpose this morning. The word purpose comes from a Hebrew word that means intent. And it's why a thing was created. God never does anything without purpose. He never does anything without purpose. The purpose is the desire or reason that makes a manufacturer create a product. Now, my wife... I love my wife. I just adore my wife. But my wife thinks that a pair of shoes were created just because she wants to look good. I mean, I know some women were saying amen. But And my wife is adorable. She's the most beautiful woman in the whole world. But shoes were originally created because someone had sore feet. And they said, I'm tired of my feet being sore. I need something on my feet because I'm tired of stepping on rocks. And so they created shoes. See, purpose is the desire or reason that makes a manufacturer create a product. That's the purpose. In other words, well, someone created a pillow because they were tired of sleeping on a rock. I mean, you know, God is a God of purpose. Purpose is the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. It says, God says, I am God. There was no one like me. There is no one beside me. I'm God who declares the end from the beginning. I love that. God is like a great architect. An architect, God's more like a general contractor slash architect. The end from the beginning is this. God says, here's my piece of property. I drew out the plans. Let me show you what I'm going to draw. I'm going to put the house right here. Here's the plans for the house. And it's going to be a two-story. The porch is going to go right here. The garage is going to go, and then he walks over here, says the garage is going to go right here. There's going to be a sidewalk here. There's going to be a road here, and he just draws it all out for you. He declared the end from the beginning. And he's done the same thing with each of our lives. God's got you. I got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you. I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not for evil, to give you a future, a hope, and an expected end, he says. Jeremiah 29:11. I already got your end figured out. I've already done it. If you've already started, then you've already finished. Because God doesn't exist in time and space. Time and space exists in God. Because God's got a purpose. And so we get frustrated because we forget that. And we forget that God is good. God is good all the time. God never ceases being good because God is God and He never changes. I am God. I don't change. He's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God who was and is to come. His love endures forever. His faithfulness endures forever. His mercy endures forever. And He is good all the time. God, His goodness endures forever. And so when we're in the middle of something, God, what's going on? Are you sure? No. He never changes. He never, ever changes. He ever, never, 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 never. And He's got your end already figured out. He never stopped being good. Because if He stopped being good, then His whole word, there's a jot and tittle in here that's messed up, and then the whole thing's fractured and wrong. And it's not. God's word is true. And you can stand on it. You understand? Because God never changes. Hallelujah. That was for someone here. They've been wondering, is this thing, am I going anywhere? God is good all the time, and He will never stop being good. Hallelujah. See, whatever God does is on purpose. I used to think, you know, every flower beautiful. God didn't make the flowers beautiful, so we would go, wow. Every flower is a certain color to attract bees to take it to another. And they're that way for a purpose. They're just not, I mean, we think they're pretty, but they're a certain color for a reason. God is a God of purpose. Purpose is the motivation of God. And since we were created in His image, we all have to have purpose too. We all have to have vision too, because without it, we are destroyed. Because we are created in our Father's image. See, Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. So we have many plans. Well, I'm going to go this place for school, and I'm going to have this many kids, and I'm going to marry this person, and I'm going to do this and this and this and this. But living a life without a transformed mind, we can really get messed up. Well, what if I lived half my life and that's okay, because God's still a God of purpose. He can get you right back on track. Don't ever discount God. He's a God of restoration. He's a God that makes all things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away. He makes all things new. Don't worry. You get right. He's that kind of God. He's still got your end. He knows the end from the beginning. He just does that. So we must constantly get in his heart and mind. Lord, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Lord, what's your plans? What's your heart? I need to get your heart. I need to get your mind. And just follow him. And we must understand as Christians why we do what we do. Why do we need to read our Bible? Why do we need to come to church? Why do we need to worship him? Why do we need to gather with other believers? I was 30 years old when we left our church in California. I'm 42 years old now. And we grew up in an amazing church. And we got to minister with some of the greatest people on the planet at that time. I was the worship leader. We traveled around the world. Ministered with, I don't know if you ever heard of Cindy Jacobs or Kim Clement or Chuck Pierce or some of these people. Dr. C. Peter Wagner, Jim Maloney, he's the director of Christ for the Nations right now. Ministered on stage with these people, conferences. We, like your pastor said, we were on the Transformations video. My pastor, who is also my father-in-law, was on the Apostolic Roundtable with Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce and all these, you know, Dr. Bill Hammond, and so we were connected. It was just a great atmosphere. And then God said, it's time to go. It's time to go and spread your wings and leave your home church. And I want you to go. And I'm like, oh, God's a God of purpose. God's a God of purpose. And sometimes God's purposes takes you. You know, God took Joseph out of his comfort zone, and he ended up in Egypt. God's a God of purpose. But because Joseph ended up in Egypt, saved his whole family, the 12 tribes ended up there, 12 brothers, and they went into Egypt as 70 people. They left Egypt as 2.2 million. For 400 years they were there. And everybody thinks, well, they went into slavery. No. They were a small group of people who couldn't fight any battles. And God protected them, and they grew and they multiplied. And Egypt ended up fighting their battles for 400 years until they were large enough to go out on their own and fight. They never had to fight one battle. Egypt was the largest nation, and they had all their meals provided and everything for 400 years. And they multiplied and multiplied. They went in as 70, and they left as 2.2 million, roughly. That's God's purpose. And in the middle of that purpose, yeah, Jacob got beat by his brothers, and he got thrown in a pit, and sold to the Ishmaelites, and, you know, the whole story. So we left, and you know, had multiple job offers. Ended up in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and got under a good pastor and was there for 8.5 years. And then after 8.5 years, pastored, got a job in Ash Grove right out of Springfield, and have been there 3 years. And never thought we'd be at an AG church. And it was very traditional, and it's been interesting because we were not a traditional, we were not raised AG, and that's a whole nother story. But the faithfulness of God, listening to, and we didn't do everything perfectly. You don't always hear God. You could try, and you can try, and you're going to miss it. You're not always going to hear God. It's just, you know, but God's full of grace and mercy. He's an awesome God. Yeah, we can try and try and try and try, but we're not always going to hear him. But God is so cool, and he's gonna pick you right back up and get you right back on track. And sometimes it's, oh, boy, that hurt. That's, you know, whom God chastens, he loves, right, Joe? And so, purpose. Everybody say purpose. Purpose. Hallelujah. So, if you don't understand your purpose, then you're just going to fizzle out eventually and not do it. See, purpose is the key to life. Hallelujah. And so, God's original purpose for man. Let's talk about God's original purpose for man. I'm going to talk about four points right here. God's original purpose for man was, first, to establish a family of sons and daughters in his image and likeness. To establish a family of sons and daughters in his image and likeness. Now, God created man in his image, in his likeness. Genesis 1:27, right? And forever, since that time, till now, Satan has been trying to distort that image. At Sinai, Moses went up, and what did they do? They tried to make an image of a golden calf and worship that image. And a form. Some people have a form, an image of godliness, and deny the power thereof. And the Bible says, from such turn away, because we're created in his image. Hallelujah. And Satan's always trying to distort the image, because we have to seek after his image. And it's that image. That's why we have to be not conformed to the world, but transformed to the image of our God. So we will know what the good, perfect, acceptable will of God is. Hallelujah. It's that image. Number two, second. The second purpose is to, God wanted to establish rulership and kingdom on this earth through these sons and daughters. Genesis 1:28. Take dominion and subdue the earth. So he created sons and daughters in his image, and then he told them, take dominion and subdue the earth. He had the authority that he had in heaven. He said, okay, I'm not gonna rule the earth. He didn't want to come down and rule the earth. He said, you rule the earth. You do it. Third, God wanted to maintain the communion with man through, with mankind, through the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. In that spirit be. And finally, this is what we're going to be talking about. God wanted to create the ideal environment for his sons and daughters to function. So he established Eden. E-D-E-N. Eden. Hallelujah. This has to do with purpose. See, God wanted to rule the earth. Again, God wanted to rule the earth, but not come to it. So he established the earth through his kids, us. And he extended his kingdom from the unseen to the seen, from the invisible to the visible. And because it's my opinion that somewhere in there, Satan and a third of the angels, Lucifer and a third of the angels, fell to this planet. Because when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, Satan was there. Because he deceived them in that spot. In that spot. So God says, I'm going to let my kids display my wisdom to these spirits, these evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's going to be my purpose for my sons and daughters. But to do so, they have to stay in this environment. Ephesians 3:10. If you want to read it, that's Ephesians 3:10. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. So God wanted to give the earth to his kids and establish rulership and leadership and communion. Psalms 115:16 says, the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he gave to man. The heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he gave to man. And this is where Christians start getting, well, I've heard so many churches pray this. And I go, what are you talking about? They said, well, if the Lord wills. But the Lord wills? He gave this earth to you. Job 22:28 says, you shall declare a thing and it shall be established for you. Proverbs 28:19 says, this is the power of life and death is in the tongue. Sorry, Proverbs 18:21 says that. And so, we speak it because we're created in God's image. God said, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. And there was. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be trees and seeds to reproduce after. Let there be creeps to creep around, and there was creeps. All different kinds. But, and then he created man in his image and likeness. And he says, you're just like me, go take dominion. Now we don't have dominion over people. Never in. See, Genesis chapter 1 says what God did. Genesis chapter 2 says how he did it. Genesis chapter 1 says what God did. Genesis chapter 2 says how he did it. And he never gave us dominion over other men, other women. Never. And so, are you guys getting this so far? This is really going to start making sense in a couple minutes. God wanted his children to exercise the same dominion that he had in heaven, so he gave them earth to exercise it on. God says, I want you to take this back from Lucifer, who defiled heaven. And so, Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. All right, we'll start putting all this together. Don't worry, I only got another 45 minutes to go, and then we're done. I'm just kidding. Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life. That was the Spirit of God. I love that. He breathed his breath into the man, and man became a living being. Man's first inhalation was God's exhalation. Think about that. Man's first inhalation was God's exhalation. Man went as God went. And man went. And he became a living being. I love that. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there he placed the man. Everybody say, he placed the man. Where did he place the man? In Eden. Now, God didn't place a man in a garden with rows of corn, rows of carrots, rows of peas, rows of soybeans, and says, here you go, here's a rake, here's a hoe, here's a shovel, here's a hose, go tend the garden. No. You're all like, well, why did he, really? No. A garden was a place of order. Adam and Eve were not farmers. It wasn't like a Farmer John in a garden. Old McAdam had a farm. No. He put him in a place of order because God is a God of order. God established a place of order on this planet. And he said, and then he called it Eden. And he placed man. He placed him there because God is a God of purpose. He placed them there. He didn't just randomly put him there. God organized a spot on the earth and he put the man there. And he only made one human from the soil. He didn't make everybody else from the soil. He made one. And then women never came from the soil, only men. So women, you can look to your man and say, you're a dirtbag, I'm not. Just kidding. See, oh no, well, look what I started. See, how do this? Purpose. See, purpose is establishing the end from the beginning. See, when God starts something, it means he's already finished. When God created man, it's Adam. It's the plural of the species. So God breathed into Adam. He breathed into Adam. So when God breathed into Adam, he breathed into one body, everybody that was somebody. And then he said, he breathed into this earth suit. And he went, he breathed into that body, everybody that was somebody. And then from that body, he took out of the womb of man a woman. Womb man, out of the womb of man. He made a male with a fetus, a female. Are you getting that? Male that was able to produce a fetus, a female, out of the womb of man, a woman. And they had the capability, to produce every other spirit. So when they sinned, every other spirit in them was defiled as well. And that's why Jesus had to come. Does that make sense? The blood, the spirit, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. Spirit and life. Anyway, we wouldn't even go there. So God took one body with everybody that was somebody, and he placed them in Eden. So let's talk about Eden. The first thing God gave man was his image. The word image is his spirit, his nature, and his moral character. God gave man his spirit, his nature, and his moral character. It's the same word in the Greek as Abba. It's really cool. Jesus uses the word Abba. If you know, Abba means source or sustainer. Abba is the source. This bottle needs to be filled, constantly needs to be filled. And so we go back to the source, the Abba, and we're created in God's image. Image is this, so image and likeness. So we go back to the source, and we become the resource, and we pour out on the world. And then we go back. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen Abba, you've seen the Father. Isn't that cool? And so we go back, then we go back to the resource, we go back to the resource. See, out of your bellies will flow rivers. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Then you go back. But we have to keep going back to the source. So what's the source? What's that source? We have to stay in the source. See, don't worry, the lid's on. I'm just kidding. But so we were created in the image and likeness of the Father. So what's the source? Okay, you guys ready for this? This blows me away. Eden. Make sure I read this right, because I love this. The word Eden. You probably want to write this down. The word Eden means a moment, spot, presence, pleasant atmosphere, open door or window. Open door or open window. So the Hebrew word has a number of strokes, dots. And so let me give you the translation. Eden means a spot for the moment where the presence of God is an open door to heaven. A spot for the moment where the presence of God is an open door to heaven. You guys ever heard this before? God is a God of purpose. And God took man and he placed him in the spot for the moment where the presence of God was an open door to heaven. And moment by moment, when man moved, the spot moved with him. So wherever man walked, a spot moved. And it was a spot of order, the garden, and it was a spot of his presence. And it was a spot of infinite, endless resource. Are you getting this? Purpose. Okay, we're going to keep going. Man was placed on this earth where there was complete communion with God. Because God never does anything by accident. In other words, Eden was not a physical place. That's why they've never been able to find it. The Bible talks about God being surrounded by angels, fiery angels. Eden, when Adam and Eve were driven from the presence of God, they looked back and what did they see? Cherubim with a flaming sword. Fiery angel. Eden was an atmosphere. One of the definitions is an atmosphere. It's an environment. And then God gave man this assignment. He said, I want you to be fruitful in this spot. I want you to multiply this spot until the whole earth is full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. I want you to take this spot and I want you to multiply my presence till the whole earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord. See, Adam didn't have to praise and worship to get into this spot. Adam didn't have to pray in the Spirit enough to get into this spot. Adam, he was already in this spot. However, today, we have to attract what Adam had naturally. It's just the way it is. You know, the worship team has to start the music, and the worship team was awesome. You guys did a great job. You guys were awesome. So let's talk about purpose, and I'm going to end. Every manufacturer that creates a product places their intentions for that product on a manual, which is the first thing you see when you open the box. The manual will always tell you the ideal environment for that product to function effectively. You open that box. This product needs to be operated at such and such temperature. This product must never be used near water. This product, you must never use this car in a lake. You must never use this toaster in a bathtub. My cell phone, God bless it, this is a new one. I had taken my pants off a couple weeks ago. I was doing some tile. My clothes were really dirty, and I ended up throwing my jeans in the washing machine. I forgot to take my cell phone out of my jeans. I'm a big fan of clean conversation. Anyway, but the proper environment is key. Because, and the owner's manual will give you the product's purpose. If you place a product in the wrong environment, it will malfunction. God created everything to function in an ideal environment. Whenever the product that God creates comes out of its environment, it malfunctions and it dies. Look, when you take a fish out of water, you pull the fish out of water, it malfunctions and it dies. You take a plant out of the soil, it malfunctions and it dies. You pull the stars out of the heavens, they malfunction. And you take man and you pull him out of God's presence, he malfunctions and he dies. Because that was the proper environment that he was placed in. Any other environment. You see, a plant doesn't just want the soil. A plant needs the soil. A fish just doesn't want the water. A fish needs the water. A cow doesn't just want the pasture to live. A cow needs a pasture to live. And we don't just want the presence of God. We have to have the presence of God. Jesus said, in me there's life, and there's life abundantly. But we get so distracted, we think, I can do this. But this is our purpose. This is our purpose. Everything flows from God's presence. God established us to be his sons and his daughters, and there is no way around it. There is no other way than to live and to walk. In him, we live and we move and we have our being, and there's no other way around it. There is no other way. We were created by God, for God, to have relationship with God, to know him, to walk with him, to love with him, to be with him. And everything flows out of his presence. There is no other way around it. That's it. You say, well, I just this presence stuff. This presence stuff, this is not stuff. This is life. And any other thing other than God's presence, you will be absolutely dissatisfied. There will be a void in your heart. This is it. I have given my whole life for God's presence. And I can tell you, we bust in 100 and we bust in 100. Yeah, 72 on the bus and 30 on the shuttle and 10 on the van, so I don't know, 110, 120 kids last week. We bust in unchurched kids last week. Unchurched kids. Wednesday, 4 days ago. And these kids, we had 72 in the youth, and these kids are coming up. And their kids start praying for other kids. And they're getting healed, and kids are experiencing the presence of God, and they're getting filled with the presence of God. And these kids are going back home where the parents are on drugs, they are unchurched kids. Their parents don't go to church. And there's porn in their houses. This is what we're doing. And after they get done praying, there's gold dust all over these kids. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I've heard about it, but I've never seen anything like it. Wednesday night, there's gold dust all over these kids. They're like, what's on my hands? What's on my face? We've been praying and praying and praying and praying that the heavens would open and God would move. And they're like, I just feel so good inside. I don't know what it is. They don't even know how to explain it because they don't even know what the Bible says. They had a God encounter Wednesday night. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen. But I'm telling you, they felt good inside because they had a God encounter. The church needs a God encounter. We need a God encounter because there is no life outside of God. In Him, there's life. He is the life force. He is the life source. And we have to walk with Him. If we're going to do any good out there, we have to first be revived. And to be revived, I had another word I was going to bring, and then God said, no, bring this one. And I believe it's for you all today. And I believe God's bringing revival big time to this church. I'm excited. You guys are an amazing people. And I'm contending for it in my church as well. We're in the part of the nation where it's hard. It's been difficult to see an open heaven and walk in an open heaven. In California, people may be fruits and nuts, they be fruity and nutty, but man, they are open to anything. Oh, God wants to do that? Sure. Religion isn't that big of a deal. They're just, yeah. Here it's people a little more traditional. This is the Bible Belt. And so when you come from there and here, it's just a little bit different. A lot different. Oh, yeah, God wants you. You want us on our faces seeking God? Sure, we'll come and seek God. No problem. Well, why do we got to get on our faces here, you know? I'm telling you, God wants to move. God wants to move in this church. He wants to move in this church. I was so impressed with your prayer group this morning. I really was. God's doing something through prayer. He is. That's awesome. I want to pray for you. And I'll just close. Hallelujah. I just want to release a divine hunger. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. God wants us. He wants us hungry and full all at the same time. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. And in the world, when you're hungry, you're full. But in the spirit world, you hunger for what you feed on. You hunger for what you feed on. You hunger for what you feed on. The more you pray, the more you hunger to pray. The more you're in His presence, the more you hunger for His presence. But But in the spirit world, the opposite is true. The more you feed your mind with the things of the world, the more you will hunger for the things of the world. You hunger for what you feed on. So I'm gonna loose, in Jesus' name, by the Spirit of God right now, a divine hunger over this congregation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, Father, I declare an open heaven right now. Lord, and I just ask for angelic help, Father, right now. I just ask, Lord, I partner with the host of heaven right now. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I loose a divine hunger in Jesus' name right now. Hallelujah. Over this church like never before. Like never before. Lord, I know this church has a hunger for you. But Father, I just ask that, Lord, you'd release, Lord, a divine hunger, Lord, and a holy dissatisfaction with the things of this world. Lord, I thank you, Father, for a spirit, Holy Spirit conviction. Lord, that you would, Lord, turn, like the psalmist prayed, Lord, turn my eyes from worthless things. Lord, unite my heart to fear you. Lord, I thank you for the spirit of the fear of the Lord to fall on this church, Father. Lord, I prayed this for myself. Lord. Lord, that you would raise. Lord, raise the presence level in this church, Lord, like never before. Lord, I thank you for oil. Lord, for fresh oil and fresh wind, Lord, in this church, Lord. Lord, and fire in their hearts to burn like never before. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that this would be the spot for the moment where the windows and the doorway of heaven is open. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank you for an increase in miracles, Lord. But Lord, that they wouldn't seek after the miracles. Lord, they would seek after you. Lord, with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength, Lord. Lord, I thank you for such a passion in this church. Lord, for such a passion in this church for your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Lord. More. More, Lord. More. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, and I just thank you, Father, for fresh, Lord, anointing on this mighty, mighty man of God. Lord, burning. I thank you, Father, for this church. Lord, I honor this church. Hallelujah. Oh, you are good, Lord, and your love endures forever. You are good, Lord, and your love endures forever. You are good, Lord, and your love endures forever. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I thank you that you love these people with an everlasting love.